This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. If you were to go into your closet and look at any recent shipping box, there's a good chance you would find it was made by a company called Uline. That's spelled U-L-I-N-E. Uline is owned by an Illinois couple, Richard and Elizabeth Uline, in that case spelled U-I-H-L-E-I-N. My guests today make the point that Uline's core business of making cardboard boxes is so boring, it's been satirized on The Simpsons when Bart's fourth grade class goes on a field trip to the Springfield Box Factory.
Many interesting and important things have been put into boxes over the years. Textiles, other boxes, even children's candy.
Do any of these boxes have candy in them?
No.
Will they ever?
No, we only make boxes to ship nails. Any other questions?
Yeah, I've got a few, because what makes Uline boxes so much more interesting than those of The Simpsons is that they've enabled Richard and Elizabeth Uline to become the top federal campaign donors to Republican candidates in the current election cycle. And they're not supporting just any Republican candidates, but some of the most election-denying, right-wing, anti-democratic people seeking office this fall. Their favored candidates include, indirectly, Illinois Republican gubernatorial nominee Darren Bailey. All this is detailed in a recent story from ProPublica and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel titled, "That Cardboard Box in Your Home is Fueling Election Denial." The story is by Justin Elliott, Megan O'Matz, and Doris Burke, all of whom are reporters for ProPublica. Megan and Justin are with me now. Welcome to the 21st Show. Thanks for being here to share your reporting with us.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
And listeners, as ever, you are invited to join our conversation at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. So, Justin, I want to begin with you. Just can you tell us a little bit more about Uline, the company?
Sure. So this is a company that's been around for over four decades now. The Uline family, they've been wealthy for over 100 years. Ancestors of the current family used to own Schlitz Brewery, the beer brand manufacturer based in Milwaukee. And so they had money, and they used some of that money to launch the company Uline, the shipping supply company, back in 1980. And we found that the company grew a lot in the early years, but it really entered into a period of really incredible sort of explosive growth in the last 10 or 15 years, where now Dick and Elizabeth Uline, who own most of the company, are making, almost $1 billion every year, largely from just the incredible success of this company. It sells cardboard boxes, shipping supplies, a lot of other kind of office supplies.
Yeah, a lot of things, like, they're everywhere, right? I was noticing at a gas station, I was using the restroom there, and they had those little plastic mats they put at the bottom of the urinals, even said Uline on them. So just about anything.
Yeah, I opened my freezer this morning and noticed one of those ice packs, and it was Uline, like, staring up at me. So yes, it is everywhere.
Wow. And what about the couple? What do we understand about how they got involved in politics and what sort of motivates them?
Yeah. So Dick Uline comes from a political family. So we reported on his father, his late father, Edgar Uline, and possibly also his grandfather, who's also named Edgar Uline. They've been involved in funding right-wing politics going back to at least the 1940s. We found that the family gave money to the original America First Committee, which was the inspiration for Trump's America First. As some people may know from history class, the original America First Committee was the group run by Charles Lindbergh, arguing against the United States getting into World War II, there was allegations of anti-Semitism by that group. Charles Lindbergh himself gave a pretty anti-Semitic speech somewhat famously before the United States entered the war, complaining about, quote-unquote Jewish influence. So the Ulines funded America First. We found that they funded another far-right group in the 60s called the John Birch Society. So Dick Uline, who's now in his late 70s, hasn't given that many interviews, didn't talk to us for our story, but he's given a couple, and he said that he got his politics from his father. So it seems like this is sort of a multi-generational project for the family.
Fascinating. All right, Megan, I want to bring you into the conversation. Megan O'Matz, can you tell us about some of the candidates that the U-Lines are funding this cycle?
Yes, they're funding some very extreme candidates like Doug Mastriano, the Republican candidate for governor of Pennsylvania. He attended the January 6th rally, and he's been linked to a prominent anti-Semite, the founder of the social media platform Gab. So he's also been linked to some other very big lie proponents, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Bo Brooks of Alabama, Madison Cawthorn, of course, isn't in this race now. But he's very much funding ultra-right wing members of Congress, big lie proponents. And even interestingly, they've gotten down to even contributing to some school board races. Dick Uihlein gave about $6,000 in Wisconsin here in Mequon-Thiessville last fall to a recall race for school board. So his influence is seen all the way down to the school board level.
That's amazing. From candidates seeking governorships all the way down to local school boards. And that includes in Illinois, Darren Bailey, right? Although not directly the money to him.
Yes, he's supporting Darren Bailey for governor of Illinois. Dick Uihlein has put at least $50 million in to defeat Governor Pritzker. I mean, some of this goes back to Uihlein's opposition to Pritzker's fair tax amendment, which would have raised the state income taxes on the wealthy. So it's, while he's supporting Darren Bailey, his money also could be seen as really opposing Pritzker.
Justin, so we just heard there about the fair tax, as it was called, the graduated income tax proposal, which failed a couple of years ago on the ballot here. But what are the Uihlein's hoping to get out of this? Is this simply simply a moral quest for what they believe is the right thing for the country? Do they have personal interests here?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, it requires a little bit of speculation because, as I was saying, I mean, they don't talk much publicly. I mean, even their company, Uihlein, part of the reason why a lot of people haven't heard of it is that it's a privately held company, you know, so they're not like giving earnings calls where people get to question them even about the company. But in terms of the politics, based on what they've said and what they've written, Liz Uihlein, the wife who helps run the company, really runs the day-to-day operations of the company, sort of famously writes this letter in every Uihlein catalog in the back. So you can kind of get some insight there. But yeah, I mean, taxes, first of all, absolutely loom large for them. As I mentioned, they just have incredibly high income based on the success of this company. So they pay a lot of taxes, and even small changes in the tax rates, you know, translate into, you know, millions and millions or tens of millions of dollars, either extra paid or saved. So that's been a consistent theme, which absolutely intersects directly with their self-interest. But also, you know, they're absolutely, what you would call sort of social conservatives. They are funding both candidates and groups that are fighting things like, you know, quote unquote, critical race theory in schools. So they're very interested in how American history is taught, and, you know, seem to be upset by people sort of casting certain facts about American history in a poor light. They've also funded groups and candidates that are attacking trans rights. And even, you know, one thing that has been interesting to us is when you look at some of the other big donors on the right, like Koch brothers, have more of a libertarian streak. They've even teamed up with progressives on some like criminal justice issues. The Uihlein's are really not like that. They're actually funding, they put a significant amount of money, to fight, for example, marijuana legalization. It's sort of the classic, what used to be called movement conservative package of hating taxes and the kind of welfare state, but also having a quite sort of traditionalist views of family and social policy.
I think you could see some of this. I think you could also see some of this in their funding of a Restoration for America group, which we found an internal document which sort of lays out their longer term agenda of, you know, their vision summary says they want to get on God's side of the issues and stay there, and abortion in America, reward truly conservative candidates and punish leftists. So I think they are really working in many areas to, as they're saying here, create a permanent conservative majority in the country.
If you're just joining us, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Megan O'Matz and Justin Elliott, who are reporters from ProPublica. Their story, published along with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and also their colleague Doris Burke, is called "That Cardboard Box in Your Home is Fueling Election Denial." It's about how the Uline company, owned by the Ulines, the couple, Richard and Elizabeth, Dick and Elizabeth, are funding a lot of election denying and anti-democratic candidates across the country. And among the people they're supporting is the gubernatorial nominee Darren Bailey here in Illinois. Although, interestingly, I read they're not giving the money directly. Well, they're not giving the money directly to his campaign. And I read that was because they're not necessarily enthusiastic about the management of that campaign. So there's somebody else they go through. We had a segment on the show about these pink slime or sort of things that look like newspapers, but are really more campaign literature. That money comes through the Uline or from the Ulines. The group that's publishing that is heavily supported by the Ulines. Let me ask about Megan. Your story includes a chart showing that 12 years ago, the Ulines donated just $319,000, and this year it's tens of millions of dollars. Why? What changed in the past decade? Why are they giving so much more money now?
Well, you can see from our chart that there's been a steady increase over the years, although during the Trump administration, it looks like the money has really exploded. And as Justin mentioned, they're not very open in talking to the press, very rarely. So we can't really say why, but it's certainly ideologically driven. They're concerned about taxes. I think, you know, with President Trump, they saw more of an appetite possibly for their extreme views. And this is just an incredible explosion of political giving by this family, and not one that many Americans have heard of. I mean, I came to Wisconsin not long ago from Florida, and I had not known about the Ulines. But now when you're in Milwaukee, you can see the Uline name on, for example, our concert hall at Summerfest. The Uline name is right there on one of the stages. The family name is at the Symphony Hall here in Milwaukee. So they are a historical family here in Wisconsin.
You know,
yeah,
Justin,
and I would just add to that briefly. I mean, a couple thoughts. One is, I mean, part of the reason we decided to look at this family and company is the Ulines are actually like the number one donors on the Republican side this cycle. So, and they're the number two donors overall. Only George Soros, the liberal financier, has given more money overall in federal races. So, I mean, the amounts of money we're talking about here are really astounding. We found that in state and federal races combined, the Ulines have given at minimum $120 million just this year, or just this election cycle, which is a huge amount of money, obviously. And, you know, one other fact we point out in the piece, and it, you know, it's hard to draw a direct connection, but part of what's going on is they just are making so much more money from Uline, the company. I mean, it's just been an incredible business success story. We talked to a bunch of former employees of the company, and among the explanations we heard is just that there's so much more e-commerce and shipping now and online shopping that every time there's, you know, more, a little bit of extra demand for cardboard boxes and bags and packaging materials, you know, that translates into profits for this family.
Interestingly, they're not, you mentioned they're not a publicly traded company, so they're not necessarily getting covered by is extensively by like a Bloomberg or Reuters or these, you know, CNBC or something like that, but presumably a pandemic winner for them, as a lot of e-commerce companies that were based on e-commerce are.
Absolutely a pandemic winner. I mean, we both, from talking to folks that work there, and we got some documents from inside the company where revenue absolutely exploded during the pandemic, because everything, you know, the sort of shift to e-commerce accelerated even more. They were selling, you know, they pivoted to selling things like hand sanitizer. They have a whole quite impressive network of warehouses and logistics. They're, you know, it's known. We talked to a lot of folks that use Uline. Part of the reason it's so successful is, you know, it's known for always having everything in stock that you need, shipping quickly, having good customer service. So it's really it's been a good business to be in, especially in the last few years.
Yeah, there's a certain irony there. I've seen some of the advertising and touchless products and hand sanitizer and stuff, and yet they are funding candidates who are very much opposed to those sorts of pandemic mitigations and taking some of these issues, well, at least approaching them the way that the Illinois governor did during the pandemic. We're going to continue this conversation. Megan and Justin, if you can stick around for a few more minutes, we need to take a break. But we're talking with Megan O'Matz and Justin Elliott, both reporters from ProPublica. Their story is that cardboard box in your home is fueling election denial. If you have a question about Uline, the company, or Uline's, the couple, give us a call at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. We're going to carry this conversation over into the next segment, just a couple of minutes. And again, the number is 800-222-9455. This is the 21st Show. More to come. Stay with us.
The 21st is made possible in part by Busey. For 150 years, Busey has helped business owners and entrepreneurs navigate financial decisions, achieve long-term goals, and realize dreams of success. Busey, fulfilling dreams since 1868.
This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about Uline, the cardboard box and other office type supply company, industrial supply company, as well as the primary owners of the company, Richard and Elizabeth Uline. They are major donors to Republican candidates. In fact, the top donors to Republican candidates this election cycle. And not just any Republicans, but election denying, anti-democratic candidates. Across the country this fall. Their donations are the subject of a story from ProPublica. It's called That Cardboard Box in Your Home is Fueling Election Denial. We're talking with reporters Justin Elliott and Megan O'Matz. And it strikes me, Justin, I was a State House reporter for a long time before coming into my current role and here in Illinois. And so I'm going to put on my news analysis hat now and say that it doesn't strike me that the Ulines have a tremendous winning record, at least in a general election context, right? They have supported candidates who have done okay in the primaries, though not always, or at least made a mark in the primaries, but they are not necessarily known for backing winners. Are they unconcerned with winning in their donations, as far as you can tell from you know, looking into how they spend their money?
You're right. You know, and I think, to be fair to them, the record is I would say sort of decidedly mixed. I mean, they absolutely have poured a ton of money into campaigns that were unsuccessful, including in primaries. And sometimes when the candidates they back in primaries make it to the general election, they then lose because they're, you know, it's often the sort of furthest right candidate in a Republican primary. But I would also add that besides doing things like pouring, you know, literally tens of millions of dollars into to support Darren Bailey, they also have given tens of millions of dollars to, you know, a prominent Washington, D.C. super PAC called the Club for Growth, which is known for backing candidates that fight taxes. That's like their big issue. And the Club for Growth is you know, a highly professional organization run by experienced political operatives, and they absolutely do back a lot of winners. So the Uline money is absolutely making its way to folks that are winning seats in Congress and the Senate and so on. And then the other thing that I would say is one thing we do know about sort of Dick Uline's political biography from one of the few interviews he's ever given is he had a formative political experience back in the late 60s after he graduated from college, volunteering for the congressional campaign of Phil Crane. There was a seat, an open seat in Congress. It was actually Donald Rumsfeld's seat in Illinois that was open. And there was like 8 or 9 Republican candidates trying to get the nomination for that seat, which was considered a safe Republican seat. Phil Crane was the furthest right candidate. Dick Uline worked on that campaign, and Crane won in an upset. And then he was in Congress for like 40 years and created a bunch of important institutions for conservatives at the national level. So Dick Uline has said that was a formative experience, and that, you know, even if you place these bets and even if you lose some, winning just a few can have long-term effects.
Megan, as we're coming to the end of our time together, the Ulines are what, in their 70s, I think your story reported. Their younger generation is already involved in the running of the company, I understand. What's next for the family? Is this going to become, a fourth generation major backers of conservative causes?
Well, we have seen that their children have given to conservative candidates as well, but certainly not as much. So I guess that's remains to be seen. I mean, certainly it looks like that the company will remain in the family's hands. They have put the company, and Justin can explain this more, into a trust, a family trust. But it doesn't look like they're going to stop anytime soon. And Dick Uline has a lot of money and it's seemingly a lot of time on his hands because Liz runs the company. So he is very, very active in funding all kinds of candidates and causes here.
Must buy his checkbooks by the bulk, Justin. Okay. Do you have anything you want to add to that?
I would just say that Megan and I are still really interested in both the Uline family and Uline the company. So if anyone out there has information we should know, please get in touch. Our contact info is on our story at ProPublica.
And we will link to that from our website at 21stshow.org. I want to thank Megan O'Matz and Justin Elliott for being here today on the 21st Show and sharing your reporting with us. Again, the story is called That Cardboard Box in Your Home is Fueling Election Denial. Justin, Megan, thanks for being here.
Thank you for
having
me.
Thanks so much.